We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it was the high school art teacher who taught our children to be suspicious about some viewpoints, some voices in their lives. He taught them the curriculum of media literacy. He taught them to look carefully at advertising, at ads in magazines or on TV. To ask questions like, are they making impossible claims suggesting you will be beautiful or successful if you buy this product? Are they maybe instilling in you a sense of greed or even self-doubt, and that's what makes you want to buy this product? The teacher was teaching our children that there are some voices you can trust and some you cannot. The gospel today is all about voices. Jesus tells two parables about shepherds and sheep and gates in order to warn us that there are some voices that suck the life out of us, and there is one voice that gives us life. While Jesus was saying these words, the very people he was warning against were probably listening. The religious leaders. They were the ones who just before this had accused Jesus of breaking God's law because he healed a man of his blindness on the Sabbath. And then they kicked this man out, once he'd been healed, out of the synagogue because he came to Jesus' defense. These religious leaders, maybe because they were stubborn, maybe because they were afraid, maybe because they loved their position of power, they taught the people that if you really want a close relationship with God, you have to keep a lot of rules. And it was impossible for the average person to keep all these rules. You needed time and money and leisure. But they believed their leaders because they were taught to respect their leaders. And so they believed the untrue statements they made. In modern day, maybe you saw the movie Spotlight. It's the same kind of situation. We wonder why the crime of pedophilia existed in churches for so long. It was because, you know, people were taught to revere and respect their religious leaders, not to suspect them, and children were taught not to question. So it makes me wonder, what are the voices that we respect or maybe agree with? What are the things that we trust that maybe are sucking the life out of us without us realizing it? When I was doing some reading on this, one commentator said he thought maybe it was his work. And he didn't mean that he didn't like his work. He's a seminary president. He loves his work. But he said that sometimes I lose myself in my work. And I get all harried and tired, and I don't even remember why I'm doing what I'm doing. Why am I raising all these funds? What's the purpose behind all these meetings and all these emails? And I wonder if that doesn't happen to us at times, too. Even if we love our work, is it that we hear that voice that tells us we have to be perfect in our work? We have to be successful in everything we do so that when we're all done, we're tired, we have a lot of tension, we're frustrated. And then this commentator talked about being a parent. He said, my children are grown now, and I love them dearly. But when they were younger, he said, I had no hesitation to sacrifice all my time and energy and money to give them things. But he said, maybe I was listening to the wrong voice about parenting. The voice that said, give your kids everything you can. Because he said, in retrospect, I saved them from a lot of the challenges and hardships, really, that I suffered, but they made me strong. When I was a teenager, my parents wanted me to succeed in school, so they excused me from meal preparation. My mother was a wonderful cook, but I never learned how to cook like she did because I was always busy working, you know, on my grade point average. And when our children were younger, we gladly provided everything we could for them, activities, lessons, experiences, travel, financial help so they could go to college. But looking back, I wonder if it was really smart for me to spend the whole Sunday afternoon driving the entire width of Minnesota to take our son to computer camp. You know, maybe there would have been a better use of time for our whole family. So the voice that tells us, give your kids everything you can, maybe we don't want to listen to that one. And then, of course, there is the alluring voice of making money. But when does money stop being a means to an end and start controlling our lives? These are the voices we live with. Sometimes they're all right, but sometimes they sap the joy out of our lives and they hurt our relationships between people, within the family, between ourselves and God. Well, there is one voice we can trust, and that is the voice of Jesus. He is the perfect good shepherd because he has only our best interests in mind. And we can see that in the very last and beautiful verse of this gospel where Jesus said, I came that they, that I, all of us, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life. We know what it isn't. We know it isn't when we go from, you know, all our chores of the day, whether it's assignments or writing reports or taking kids to practice or changing diapers or mowing the lawn, when they seem meaningless. We know that's not the abundant life. But what is abundant life? Well, the theologian Paul Tillich suggests one way we might understand it. He says, one of the great and beautiful mysteries of the Christian faith is that the present can have eternal meaning. Let me give you an example. A woman of advanced years looks into her husband's eyes and says, you are so handsome. Now, she is not looking at his bald head. She is not looking at, you know, the wrinkles or the softening muscles. She is remembering the man. She's remembering that handsome man she met in college. She's remembering that energetic father who coached their son's baseball team. She is remembering all the kindness and patience and wisdom that he brought into their relationship all these years. That moment is not just that moment for her. She is seeing the past that they've shared together and the future they hope to have. As Christians, that's the way it works for us. Each moment is not just that moment. We live our moments knowing the past, that Christ lived and died and rose again for us. We live our moments knowing there is a future, the promised hope of eternal future. And that makes a difference in our lives. The tasks that we do, we believe that they work into a pattern. Our lives have a purpose. I had a chance to kind of get a glimpse of another person's life and the purpose that might have been part of her life. The Augustana Lutheran Church in Washington, D.C. does a helpful thing when one of their members dies. They put a video online of that person's life. A friend of this congregation, who was a member of that church, recently died, Carol Kramer. Her sister, Joan Rivas, is our member. And so yesterday I was able to watch the life of Carol Kramer in these pictures. And it was so clear that as she worked with all these different organizations, both domestic and international and local, that were peace, that promoted peace and community building, it was clear to see there was a pattern in her life. God was using her. There were pictures of Carol when she was young with her father, and then all through her life. There were pictures when she was enjoying her friends in Washington, D.C. There were pictures when she was in Africa and El Salvador and Haiti. And you could tell that God was using her to bring reconciliation to her city and to her world. In the same way, if we only could see a snapshot from each era of our lives, we would see the same thing, that God is using our lives for a greater purpose. That each day, though it may seem ordinary, maybe mundane, that it's part of a pattern. What is the abundant life? It's not the promise that we will have an abundance of wealth or an abundance of fame or an abundance of success. It's better. It's better than that. It's more long-lasting. It's that our lives will have meaning and joy and hope, and they will be filled with gratitude. The psalmist says it this way. He says, God restores our souls. Jesus simply says, I came that you may have life abundant. And those are voices we can trust. Amen.